I'd like you this morning to think back to the last rainbow you saw. And then maybe think about the best rainbow you ever saw. I can think of a time when my family and I were on camp in Wales. And strangely enough, in Wales you tend to see quite a lot of rainbows, especially in the summer, because you get a lot of rain, but also you get a bit of sun. And Debbie and myself were travelling in the car, and I think it might have just been Levi with us at that time. And we were travelling towards the campsite, and then all of a sudden we saw the most amazing rainbow we'd ever seen. And believe it or not, there were two of them, and both of them were as vivid as each other. Absolute beautiful sight. And as I was getting distracted and we wanted to see this rainbow more, as a responsible driver, I pulled over on the side of the road and we got out and we took a few pictures and we just gazed in wonder at this beautiful rainbow. You see, there's beauty in all of creation, isn't there? We see beauty all around us, but there's something particularly special about a rainbow. And it's something that many people wouldn't be able to put their finger on. Why is it that we are so attracted to this rainbow? What is it, about the rainbow, that is so amazing? Last week we saw how the wickedness of man was great in the earth. How every intent and the thought of their heart and action was evil continually. And God, in his righteous anger towards that, judged the world with a flood. We saw how only eight people, only Noah and his family, survived that flood, and it was only by God's grace that he was saved. We saw God's perfect righteousness in the light of our human's wickedness. And so, why is it that God hasn't destroyed this world again? Why is it that in each generation there isn't a worldwide flood wiping us off the face of the planet? Because the seed of wickedness was still there, and is still there, and it consumes us. It pervades every part of our lives. And so why is it that God hasn't done this again? Well, it's because God made a covenant with Noah and a covenant with creation. A covenant that, in the oath of the covenant, God owed never to destroy this world again with a flood. That never again, even though man is wicked, and no matter how wicked man gets, he will never flood this world again. And we see the sign of the rainbow that God institutes as this sign of this covenant. And so I think through the ages, in any kind of corner of the world, in any kind of tribe and tongue and nation, the rainbow is held with some kind of mystical regard. And I think it's because of this that we have before us. Because deep down, we know there is a sign from God given to us because of this covenant. Just think about Noah for a moment. Noah had endured the flood. He'd spent many years building an ark, a box, to live in with his family and the animals. And all the time him and his family were building this ark, Noah was preaching to the people around him, urging them to repent, urging them to turn back to God and be saved from the coming flood, the coming judgment. And yet he saw no one turn to God. No one repents. And then he's shut up in the ark by God with all the animals in his family. And he sees all of humanity destroyed apart from him and his family. No doubt he heard cries as people were suffering and dying outside. And then he's been shut up in a smelly ark for up to a year. And now finally it's come to rest and he could come out of the ark. And no doubt as he came out of the ark, he saw a completely different creation, a different environment because of what the flood had done to the earth. He'd seen how God could so easily wipe off the face of this planet all living things. He saw God's righteous judgment on wickedness. And yet he knew his heart. He knew that he still was a wicked man. He knew that he still had sin. He knew his sons had sin in them, that they were sinners. So what was it that was going to prevent God from doing this again? Every time he would see a cloud come in the sky, no doubt he would have feared that God was going to judge the world again. But God came and gave this promise to Noah, that no, I'm going to make a covenant with you, a covenant that will be everlasting. I will never judge the world in this way again. Despite your wickedness, despite man's sin, I will not judge the world again. We see this in the oath that he makes in verse 22 of chapter 8. He says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." You see, Noah coming out of the ark must have felt very concerned and fearful of God. And so what a relief it must have been for him. Just put yourselves in his shoes for a moment. What a relief it must have been when he sees his God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, the Holy, Righteous God, covenanting himself with creation, saying that he will not judge the world in the same way again. But also God commanded a few things with regards to this covenant. He commanded that they were to go and fill the earth once again. He says in verse 1 of chapter 9, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Then we are to subdue it. This is creation language once again, isn't it? To be fruitful and to multiply. And then to subdue the world, the animals and the earth. And God then lays upon the creation ordinance that the fear of you will be on every beast of the earth to enable them to be able to subdue the world, to protect man from the animals, from rising up and going against mankind and destroying mankind. He gives food for sustenance, not only the herbs, not only the fruits, but the animals he gives for food, but also he shows a high regard for life. Life of both animals, but especially of humanity. God brings the punishment of death for all those who take a man's life. In this we see the institution of governments to manage this, to impose this penalty on those who have taken a man's life. And we still see this today. We see this righteous anger at people taking human's life. We want to see judgment done for it. Sadly, in the West, we have seen the erosion of this. We see someone taking someone's life, murdering them, and they get just but a few years in prison. Well, where's the high regard for human life? But why is it we should have this high regard? Well, it's because we are made in the image of God. When you take a man's life, you are destroying an image of God. And we also see this brought out around the world when we see a beast, say a lion or a tiger or even a shark, taking someone's life. There's always some kind of party that wants to get together to try and hunt that animal down and destroy it. This has been instilled to us by this covenant that God has made with us. But having seen just very briefly this covenant, I just want to see and focus in on this sign of the covenant, the rainbow, this morning. Because this, as well as the words, this we can relate to very well. And this rainbow is really the picture that encapsulates this covenant, that can teach us a lot about this covenant. You see, it's a picture that illustrates the words that are written in the covenant. And firstly, we see that it is a universal sign. The rainbow is universal. Think of the rainbow. It's enjoyed by the world all over, isn't it? No matter where you go in this world, there will be rainbows. And no matter where you go in the world, you could probably, even in a different language, you could probably describe a rainbow. And they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And indeed, it doesn't take much searching on the internet to find many legends about rainbows. You think of the legend of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's probably the one closest to home from Ireland, I think. But there are many legends throughout the world, throughout all different nationalities, of the rainbow. Like I was saying, the rainbow is held in high regard by everyone across the globe. And so, as the rainbow is universal across the globe, so is this covenant universal. Sadly, many don't know about this oath that God has made. Those who haven't heard God's word, they just see this great emblem in the sky. And they don't know what it means, so they try and fix something to it. But here we see God's covenant. And this covenant applies to them. It applies to the people in the Amazon forest as much as it applies to us. It applies to the Israelites as much as it applies to us. It applies to everyone, young and old. You see, so as this covenant sign is universal, so is the covenant promise. This covenant promise is universal across the globe. Everyone across the globe could see this sign and know that God has spoken. God has covenanted with man and with creation that he will never flood and destroy the world again with a flood. But also, this also means that those laws and stipulations that God has put in place are also universal. Universal for mankind. He's put in the law of producing mankind, of multiplying. But that doesn't only imply procreation. This means to fill the earth with good things, with society. We are to be about building up the home, about building up mothers and fathers in their duty to children as they fill the world. But also the law of life for life is universal throughout the world. This is what God has stipulated. And today we see this erosion of sanctity of life, don't we? We see countless millions, if not billions, of lives taken through abortion. We see people who have murdered in cold blood, just sitting in jail for a few years. But this law is universal, even today across the nations. But also, secondly, we see that it is an enduring sign, and I've touched upon this already. It's an enduring sign. It wasn't only a sign that is to encompass the whole of creation and therefore the whole of humanity. God was covenanting with Noah as a federal head, as the head of creation at that time. He was like a second Adam, another Adam, the head of the human race, and also as the head of the human race, the head of creation. And so it wasn't only for him and his immediate descendants. No, as the sign of the rainbow is enduring forever, so this covenant endures. God says in verse 14, "When I bring a cloud over the earth, that rainbow shall be seen in the cloud." All the time there are clouds, the rainbow will be seen. So all the time the earth is in motion. We know the cycles, we see it in science, don't we? The cycle of evaporation of the oceans going into the sky, forming into clouds, falling as rain. All the time this creation holds together by God's almighty hand, there will be rainbows. And so all the time there are rainbows, so this covenant endures. Isn't that amazing? You here this morning are under this covenant that God has made. We can take for it great confidence that not only will God not destroy this world again because of our wickedness, but also we know that God will not destroy the world again with a flood, but we know that God will not allow the destruction of this world before his appointed time. We see all this arguments about nuclear warheads and things like this, or climate change and things like this. I'm not saying that we need not worry about these things. Yes, we need to care for the world. We need to be good stewards of the world. We need to care for society and the good of society, and whether nuclear warheads promote that is another matter. But we as Christians, knowing that we are under this covenant-keeping God who has made this covenant with us, can know for sure that God will not allow this world to come to an end before his appointed time, before all his people are brought to him. But also we mustn't forget that this sign isn't just for us. Yes, we can look at this sign and remember this covenant, and we can be thankful for it. And I hope that after today we will go out, and next time you see a rainbow, you won't just see a beautiful feature of creation, but you will think about the covenant that God has set to it. And later on we'll see a little bit more that you can think of when you see that rainbow. But it's not just for our benefit, is it? It's not just for our benefit. We see that God has put this covenant, this rainbow, for himself. We see in verse 15. He says, "When the rainbow shall come and be seen in a cloud," he says, "and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature. Don't you think that's quite amazing? Now, we know that God cannot forget. And that's not what it's implying here. It's not implying that God might forget and so therefore he needs to be reminded of this covenant. No, God made this covenant and he'll never forget it. But just like a father, just imagine this. It's a father with his son a few weeks after his birthday. And his son says to him, "What are we going to do for my birthday next year, Dad?" And the dad says, "You know what? I'm going to take you to London Zoo. A special treat for your birthday." And the months go by. The dad hasn't forgotten. It's in the back of his head. And the son's thinking, well, has he forgotten or not? But no, he trusts his dad and he just leaves it there. But then just the week before, his mum, the dad's wife, says to him, "Remember that promise you made to your son?" And then he actually does something about it. He rings up London Zoo and he books tickets so he knows that he'll get in. And then it's fixed. The date is fixed. And it's just like that. God never forgets. But he can positively remember. He can positively remember. We see this with God and his covenant with Abraham. We see in Exodus God hearing the groans of the Israelites in Egypt when they were held in slavery. And we read that God remembered his covenant and then he acted upon it. And then he sent Moses to take the people out. He acted. And so it is with the rainbow. God never forgets this covenant. But every time he causes the rainbow to be seen, he sees the rainbow. And he actively pursues fulfilling his covenant. It's not just passive. He actively remembers this covenant every time he sees it. And so we can know that every time we see that God remembers in Scripture, more often than not, God is going to do something. God is going to do something amazing. He remembered Sarah, and then she gave birth. And he remembers his covenant that he has made, that all through the Lord Jesus Christ may be saved. And every time he saves any lost sinner, he actively remembers and he acts. And he remembers that this morning. He remembers that this morning. He can save you. And he will save you if you come to him. But thankfully, we also see, thirdly, that this is an unconditional sign. There is nothing that mankind can do to make a rainbow in the sky. Have you noticed that God said that he will never again destroy the earth? That's in the covenant. He brings the cloud over the earth and causes the rainbow. And it is he that will remember his covenant with us. He doesn't, yes, in this covenant he has put laws in place for our good that we should be obedient to. But it's not conditional. It's not in condition of those laws. We see just right at the beginning of the verses that we read that as Noah sacrificed after he came out of the ark, after God smelled the soothing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." God knew, God knows that we will not keep his law. God knows that the earth will once again degenerate into wickedness. and be full of wickedness as it is today. But this is an unconditional sign, and therefore it is an unconditional covenant. Unconditional. It's not subject to us keeping his law. It's not subject to us in any way. It's all of God. I could say more, but we must move on. Because we need to understand what this all means for us today. What on earth does this mean for us today? Yes, okay, in the back of our heads we know that God isn't going to flood the world again. But how should this have an impact on me? How should this impact my life? Well, we need to see why God actually entered into this covenant with man. Why is it? Yes, it's because of this covenant that mankind hasn't been destroyed already. But why? Why did God make this pact? Why did God make this covenant, this promise with mankind? Well, it's because of God's plan of redemption. Just think, if he hadn't have made this covenant and he hadn't kept this covenant, God would have rightly, justly destroyed mankind in every single age. And if he wiped mankind off the face of this earth, how? Just how could that promised seed come? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that promise that I spoke about last week? That promise that is in Genesis 3:15, where God promised that one would come of the seed of the woman to crush, to bruise Satan's head. That seed hadn't yet come in Noah's day. And that seed didn't come for another couple of thousand years. So how, just how could it come without this covenant? No, this covenant is the foundation of God's covenant then to go on to his covenant of grace, his covenant with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God covenanted with himself that he was going to save a people for himself to give to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his Son. That there would be an elect people. But how could these elect people come if God was just in righteous judgment to destroy the world? We've not been washed away because of a flood, because of this covenant. But this covenant looks towards a greater covenant, one that was to come, and the one that needed stability in this world so it could come. See, God not only made the stability of day and night, seed time and harvest, winter, summer, but he also sets a division between the beasts of the field and man. He sets fear on into the beasts of the field so that they would not destroy man. He also puts in rules in place so that man does not destroy each other. Aaron Chalmers, a writer, helpfully states that this covenant established by God with Noah and creation provides the foundation for the whole story of redemption. It is on the basis of this covenant that God deals graciously with mankind, despite our sin. But secondly, we also see that this gracious covenant with us today flows out of the sacrifice that Noah made. We mustn't forget that Noah made a sacrifice. Ideally, those few verses at the end of chapter 8 should have been combined with chapter 9, so that in our heads we could have quite easily seen that this covenant in chapter 9 stemmed out of this sacrifice that Noah made to God. We see him taking of every clean bird, every clean animal, and sacrificing them to God. But what did this sacrifice signify? Well, surely as all the sacrifices in the Old Testament that were instituted by God, they all pointed to the final sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This covenant stems out of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for mankind. So as you see the rainbow, don't just think of his covenant with us, that he's not going to destroy us. Think about his later covenant, his covenant in the new covenant, in Jesus' blood, that this was the foundation so that this could happen. Praise God for this covenant with us, that Jesus could come, that Jesus could die, that Jesus could bear away our sin. You see, God smelled a sweet savour. We see this in Ephesians, spoken of by Jesus' sacrifice. Exactly the same words, spoken of as smelling a sweet aroma or a sweet savour in God's nose. As he was accepted, it was an acceptable sacrifice to make atonement for man's sin. And so Noah, on man's behalf, was sacrificing to propitiate, to appease God because of man's sin. The blood of bulls and goats could do nothing. And yet, it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this covenant flows out of that. But I must warn that the new covenant isn't universal. It's universal in the fact that it's to go out to all nations and to all peoples. But God will not eternally save every single person. This covenant with Noah is a universal covenant with regards to all of humanity over the whole of time until Jesus comes again. But the covenant in Jesus' blood is a covenant for a select people, his people. He died for his people. How do we know that we are his people? Well, we know that we are his people if we come to him. If we put our faith and trust in him. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, knowing that he is Lord and that he is the only Saviour. Turn to him today. The only reason you're alive today is because of this covenant with mankind. The only reason you're here today, therefore, is because of that sacrifice Jesus has made. And the only reason we are here today, hearing God's word, is because God has not yet called to himself all of his people. Because when that day comes, the Lord Jesus Christ will come again in triumph and glory, and take his people to be with himself forevermore. But not only that, he will come. The sins of mankind will not just be wiped under the carpet. There will be once again a coming judgment. And your sins will be judged. And you will be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ came to take your sin, to take your condemnation, to take your punishment. Come to him today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. So when you see a rainbow, think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that could mean for you. God's grace, God's mercy in saving people by sending his son to the cross to die for you. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't leave it any longer.